Allison Rosen. Hey everyone, it's me, Allison, from Allison Rosen is your new best friend. On Monday, I was joined by Emily Gordon from the Indoor Kids.
I like talking about tampon stuff with guys lately because it never occurred to me how little they know.
Yes. This was actually something that came up on your podcast and I was thinking, you're so right.
Yeah.
Let's traumatize Gary.
Oh, I like that idea.
Although he might know.
You
ask him your question.
Okay, so this is a question that not even my idea, but that I've been you ask. It's fun to ask for ladies
it's
to
like
ask
a
at parties.
Parlor game.
Yeah, it's a good party game.
This is gonna go well.
How long do you think women should leave tampons in?
Did Gary get it right? You'll have to listen to find out. And on Thursday, Chris Laxamana and I got to the bottom of a very important topic.
They're actually braces, not suspenders.
What is the difference?
Suspenders are like they're skinnier and they have clips. Braces, you have to have buttons in your pants, like special pants. They're
sort of like a
what Larry King wears are braces, like those thick straps, or like what you see like cops wearing, I guess, are braces. Suspenders are like the skinny,
right?
Skinny straps. So,
but they both serve the same function to allow you to play ska music. Subscribe to Allison Rosen as your new best friend on iTunes or go to AllisonRosen.com. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. I love you.
Allison's your new best friend.
Hey, I'm Adam Carolla.
I'm Dr. Drew.
And we are here to ask you to do us a little favor. If you like what you hear, share it with a friend.
Nice. Keep the pirate ship afloat, right?
Yeah, well, that's the only advertising we got. But it's the best kind.
It is.
Word of mouth.
It is.
Whose mouth?
Yours. Not yours, theirs.
Theirs.
Theirs, yes.
That's right. Thank you in advance for telling a friend, and enjoy the show.
This is Corolla Digital. Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on Monday. Get on. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Adam Crowell. It's there. Good to see you, Drew.
What's going on, my friend?
Always a relief when Drew comes into
wow.
studio. Just
Woo! Let's remember this moment, everybody. I want to say that again. Would you say something?
Always a relief when Dr. Drew's in studio.
Please put that on a ringtone, Gary. You got it? All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So a couple thoughts before we get to your questions, phone calls, things like that. You know, I don't know what's going on. You know, we talk about this a lot. Lynette's out of town.
Is that a good thing?
It's good for me because I get to do what I know makes sense. What I'm saying is there's a lot of discussions I'm having in life with people about kids being kids and dogs being dogs,
yeah,
and things like that. You know,
yeah.
And it's like, we're walking to the car, and Lynette's screaming, take water, and I'm screaming. We're driving from one house to another house in an air-conditioned car that's yeah. covered with leather.
Yes, yes.
Where's their water?
Yes.
They don't need water.
They don't have a camel pack
They're
on?
They're motionless in the back of a leather vehicle with air blowing in their face. They can make it 8 miles to the new house where there's plenty of water. They need water! You know, it's this kind of thing where it's like, I know what the truth is. I know what's going on. I'll tell you one of the greatest things. Molly, the dog, has diabetes. Molly's cost me at least $25,000 in the last 4 years. Molly, because of her diabetes, has now taken to drinking a lot of water and urinating for the first time in her long
That's a bad sign. That's a sign of hyperglycemia.
Yeah.
That's a sign the sugars are out of control.
She has her fits
yeah.
of urine. And she likes to urinate in my den. She likes the carpet
Who doesn't?
In my den in front of my fucking TV. And I have this sort of mahogany colored dark carpet, and the only way I find out about it is at the end of my 14-hour day when I get my glass of wine and I retreat to the den as I walk in my bathrobe barefoot and I walk through the wet spot toward the sofa, and then I have to fucking make this Sophie's choice of, do I really at this point in the day, got an early call tomorrow, do I really turn on all the lights, set down the glass of wine and really take care of this problem, or I just grab the fucking Febreze, dump it on top, throw a fucking towel on it, and just go fuck it. So I have been It's this great thing. As I said, my greatest lament, and I'm not sure how deeply I got into you with this, but I
your deepest lament, I imagine I heard it. Go ahead.
Well, when you get to my station in life, you hire what I like to call the retarded goblin, the person who walked here from Guatemala with no education, has to come in and clean your house. But she does things like takes the wristband I need to get on the track at Coronado, folds it up in the paper, and slides it behind the potted plant. I can't find it anywhere. Smash cut to me not getting into the driver's paddock at Coronado. Smash cut to them going, go to the driver's tent on the other side of the fucking parking lot. The driver's tent is closed down. A lot of that.
Give me a headache.
And a lot of literally the other day when I was packing to go on one of my weekend trips, it's there's like two moments. There's and if I've complained about this a million times, but you stop me. There's this moment. All right. I was driving home thinking I got to pack my shit and get to the Burbank airport. But before that, I got a nice piece of lasagna that I brought home from a restaurant. Like I'm going to heat it up and eat it for lunch. Like, you know, that moment where you're thinking about what you're doing for lunch. No, everyone's gone. Kids are at school. Wife's at the hot yoga class or whatever. And I come walking through the front door and there is the retarded goblin sitting at the dining table screaming in Spanish, you know, at whoever on her phone as I walk into the kitchen. It's just me and her. It's sort of alone in the kitchen. And I'm so bothered by it. Like I'm so to the core bothered by it.
She spoiled your moment?
That I go, fuck it. You know what? I'm going to do that thing where I sulk. That gives her the hint to kind of wrap it up. Oh, yes. Wrap it up and clear out. You know what? I'm just going to pack. So I drag my suitcase out of the closet in the entry hall. I go upstairs to go get my socks and underpants and stuff like that. As I'm doing that, she's getting up out of the kitchen, walking into the entry hall and putting away the suitcase.
Oh.
Now, as I say to Lynette all the time, it's not her fault.
Yeah.
It's not her fault.
She's doing her job.
She's working.
You like that.
I don't fault her for it. She's going to work on the end. I don't. There's this thing.
You
that
then
I,
head to the kitchen?
There's something that I can't convey to her and that cannot be conveyed to her, which is she starts in the kitchen and or my bedroom. Those are her two only starting places. There's an empty living room that I never go into that she could happily go into and go at, or she could go down the hall and go to the den with the molly piss in it. But she can't do that either. Right. She has to be in either the kitchen or the bedroom. So when I have done whatever I've done the night, you know, I played the Irvine Improv the night before. I come home late at night. It's a long road trip, blah, blah, blah. I come walking into the kitchen and she's standing there by the sink and I have to do the, excuse me, you know, as I'm trying to get to the fridge to get the milk out for the coffee.
Ugh.
And I resent the shit out of it. I just resent it. And the answer that everybody has provided for this problem is, well, what are you going to do? And my answer is, my wife can clean the house. And everyone else's answer is, oh, my God, no. Oh, no. Oh, that's impossible. That could never happen. And I think, why can't it happen?
Is there a world where Adam cleans the house?
Yeah, sure.
Oh.
Absolutely.
Is it worth cleaning the house? Let's do a little alchemy. Is it worth cleaning the house?
I'm all for it.
Is it worth you cleaning the house?
Matt, get Lynette's travel itinerary together. Because she's
going to be in the fucking BevMo.
She's going to be doing two shows in Sacramento tonight. Because I need time to clean the house. If that's the deal you want to make, I'm all about it. Can we do that deal?
Is it worth it to clean the house to avoid the resentment?
Which is worse? You're talking about me? I physically don't have enough time because I work every single weekend. I physically don't have enough minutes to clean the house.
You need to let go of this somehow.
I don't have enough time to clean the house.
You need to.
But there are people that do have enough time to clean the house.
What?
Yes. But but we were living in a time where that kind of thought is heresy. Heresy.
How fucking dare you?
It's heresy.
Don't you know there's a high school to prison pipeline?
Why is that heresy? Why? When did that become heresy?
I don't even
and
know how to answer it.
And why? Why is that heresy? Why is it demeaning? Why is it whatever? I have to.
Well, there is a sort of a thing that the house upkeep should be a shared responsibility, regardless of what you're doing with your life. Regardless of what your situation
I'm not there to spread fecal matter on the walls.
No. The actual upkeep and cleaning.
Oh, no.
Should be a shared responsibility.
You want to talk about upkeep? Upkeep? All I do is paint.
That's you just hire Ozzy and everybody to go do it for you.
I pay.
You don't actually do it. I'm just saying.
Oh, please. Oh, Drew, you have nowhere to go in this retarded chess game you're playing with me. I have guys that I basically trained. I pay them. I provide the
material.
They still
fuck up,
and
to be fair.
No, and I instruct them what to do in terms of upkeep. Please. Talking about getting a vacuum out, pushing it along a strip of carpet.
There is a general cultural assessment that house responsibility, the traditional wife role, whether it's male or female, should be a shared responsibility. And that it is somehow
shared when both people work.
I think it's just become, it just should be shared. I think that's out there. I think that's, yeah.
No. Oh, well, that's where we're at now.
Yeah. Okay. So there's that.
Okay.
There's that.
Okay.
That's happening. That's in the world. And so you've got that, mm-hmm. right? Regardless of what both people are doing, that's why should it be the woman's responsibility is sort of the thing.
No, it shouldn't be the woman's. It should be whoever works more than full time. If the other one is not working
full time,
here's where that goes. They should have that responsibility.
Here's where that goes.
That's the way I think.
You understand I'm being polemic, right? You understand I'm playing devil's advocate.
Yeah.
Where that would go is, well, you choose to work excessively. I don't ask for all this money and work. Why don't you cut down your work hours and spend more time with the kids, and then you'd have the time to don't do all this. It's
okay.
Your choice to do that. And so the fact that you have so little time, well, you've created that, Adam. And so why should I have to suffer, me, the wife? Because you are overworking. And by the way, where's my relationship? I barely see you. I've suffered. I'm lonely. I this is not the life I want. You've chosen to create it the way you did. And et cetera, et cetera. Right? Right?
Sort of, but.
And I'm not playing with that. I'm not playing with that. I'm playing.
Everyone wants the Audi. Nobody wants the Honda.
and Olga. They want her too.
Yes.
I'm saying that I think that's how
here's what I'm saying.
And I'm not playing Lynette.
When
for the record.
Did we turn this keeping of the house into some sort of low wage bullshit work? What happened to the pride? Do you see what I'm saying? When did we talk women out of the pride of keeping the home?
Wait till you see when your kids hit like junior high school age, and there starts to be conflicts between the working moms and the non-working moms. It gets intense.
I can't wait.
There's jealousies on both sides. Well, and
listen, I'm jealous of the non-working moms. But here's the deal.
I think that's the – hold a second. I really think that's the problem. You actually are jealous of the non-working mom.
I am.
Okay. That's the problem. You're actually jealous. Why don't you glory in creating that for her? I wish I could be in your shoes, but I'm going to make sure you have the best experience as the non-working mom.
I feel that way until I run into the Guatemalan woman in the kitchen.
Well, why don't you make it somebody's responsibility to not be in, like to scram when you're around?
It's been attempted. What happened? It was this great moment, which is, I think it was last Friday. We're getting back to Molly. Last Friday, I said to Lynette, I can't get up in the morning and see her. I can't have her in my bathroom screaming when I walk. And I can't be walking out. Yeah. This thing of I've got up in the morning, I want to go down and get a cup of coffee, I'm in my underpants, but I have to put something on because she's going to be in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And it'll be the two of us alone in the house, but I'm going to encounter a strange woman essentially in my kitchen, so I have to put something on before I go to my kitchen. I can't stand that my life has turned out this way. Hold on.
You need to hire someone that looks like Rebecca Romijn.
Yes, we do. So what happened?
That'll take care of everything. Everything.
I don't think Merry Maids has a lot of them. But what happened, this is a funny one. So I said to Lynette, I got the longest day in the world on Friday, and I got to cut out of the house at like 9:30, 10 in the morning or something. I don't want to see her at 8:15 in the kitchen. Call her up, text her, do whatever you got to do. Tell her just show up at 10. I don't want to see her. It hurts my soul. And I don't even mind her. I just mind the fact that there's an uneducated woman who doesn't speak English who just lives in my house with me every Friday. Mm. So I said, I just tell her to come after 10. So she came after 10. Okay. Drew's going to turn the air on.
Turn the air on.
Good. Lynette was all for her coming. Throw the switch on the right first and then turn everything on. And good enough, she showed up after 10. Coming full circle to Molly. I did what I do because I'm very acutely aware of things, which is...
Really, things bother you in the environment?
My den smelling like dog piss is starting to grate on me, especially since the weather's been unseasonably hot. And it's been like Santa Ana winds and shit. It just sort of whips up the hot
piss smell.
And
we know you love the heat, the valley especially.
So what I do is before I leave the house, since it's an impossibility that Molly be outside with a bowl of water during the course of the day, that's not possible. I then what I do is I shut the door to my office so that if Molly does have to take a pee, she's going to have to take a pee at my den, shut the den door. She's going to have to take a pee somewhere else on the hardwood floor or perhaps not at all. Now, this is the funny one. So the maid does show up after 10, so I miss her altogether. I go out to Dana Point, shoot for 12 hours. I think I stop at the Glendora BevMo on the way home to sign bottles of Mangry and take pictures with adoring fans. I get home. I get my socks and robe, pour myself my glass of wine, go walking into my den and walk right through the puddle of Molly piss because guess who had to come to the house at 10 and vacuum that room and guess who left the door open? Not her fault. She wouldn't know to close the door. But as I was standing there with my socks wicking up Molly's piss, I thought, couldn't escape it. Even though I physically wasn't here while she was here, this is the calling card. This is what I now have. Because I hire
interesting
a retarded goblin to
microcosm
come to my house.
Of human systems. You know what I mean? You can't solve these problems easily, even with three people involved.
There's a way to solve it. There's a way to solve it.
Back to
problem.
Lynette doing the housework.
And all the mamas out there doing the housework. Yes. But I know that's off the table. It's completely and utterly off the table. Cannot be discussed in 2013. It cannot be discussed. Okay.
You want to
fine.
Take the jobs away from your brethren. Your friends,
right.
That's the deal.
You're right. Now, back to Molly.
Oh.
Lynette's out of town, and guess who stays outside with a bowl of water all day?
Nice.
Molly.
She's fine.
She's a dog.
She's happy as shit.
She either gets up and trots around and barks at things, or she finds a patch of shade and she lays down in it.
You're so mean, Adam.
And
you're so mean.
I've said to Lynette.
Poor Molly. Don't your kids bring them in?
I've said to Lynette.
Where are your kids?
No, when they're at school.
Are they outside too running around? What do you do with them?
I've said to Lynette, why can't Molly be outside during the day with a bowl of water because she's pissing on my carpet? And she said, no. And I said, no, but wait a second. I think Molly would prefer to be outside versus, let's look at it this way. I'm going to flip the script. You want her locked inside all day? Because that's what she is. She'd be locked inside all day. Now, the weather's 79 degrees. There's plenty of shade. There's, you know, places, there's mats and carpet and places, things to lay down. There's outdoor furniture with
pads.
Pads. There's a bowl of water. She doesn't eat until that evening.
Right, because of the diabetes.
She's not missing out on the kibble or anything. She's got her snacks. She's got her food. She's got her insulin shot. She's got her bowl of water outside. Let her go out. Just let her be outside.
You know,
and by the way, I'll put her outside at 8:30 when I leave for work. And when the kids and Olga come home at 2:30, they'll let her in. What? Why? What? what is that? But hold on. Yep. I feel like I'm having this argument with everyone in life. And they're looking at me going, oh, now, come on.
Well, you
and
become like Grandfather Time. You become the grandpa from the
1920s. Aren't dogs supposed to be outside?
You become the guy. I remember old men like this when I was like 8. And they were like from the turn of the century in the 20s, like yelling this kind of shit. Why would you kids, your mom drives you to school every day. Why don't you walk? Why don't you ride your bike? In my day, the snow. Here we go.
Right.
I heard that all the time.
This is a dog.
Why do you? Oh, no.
Outdoor.
We had. Why do you have animals in the house? They're dirty. Animals are for the farm.
Yeah, that's my question.
Literally, you've become the modern version of the grandpa from that moved out of the country to the big city.
Right. Except for he wanted his kids to, you know, do their homework.
He wanted them to have grit because back in the day, we got up at 3 o'clock and milked the cows. And then I went to school in a schoolhouse with 12 other kids. They were 27.
Yes.
You have all kids your own age. You don't know how good you have it. And you wear clothes.
Right.
We wore loincloths back then. Come on. It's like, it's becoming comical.
This is a dog that has to stay. This dog can sit in shade and marvel at the topiaries in my front yard and drink a bowl of water.
Topiaries? We didn't have plants when I was growing up. We ate rocks and clouds.
You ate clouds and rocks? How'd you eat clouds, Grandpa?
We didn't have plants. It was before plants. Oh, my God.
Listen.
God help us.
All right, here's
this
what
is getting...
I'm getting hot. I'm getting the vapors.
It's hot in here. What the fuck?
I'm getting the vapors.
Gary, help. Wait a minute. Hey, we have a problem. We have a problem in our neighborhood, and you're going to have it soon. Carnival. Okay, the air turns on instantly as soon as Gary gets out of his chair.
You got it.
It just turned on.
All right.
Carnivores. We had a fucking bear in our backyard. In our backyard.
Molly'd be like Old Yeller then, eaten by a bear if I left her outside.
We have bobcats, ate our cats. We have coyotes up the ass.
Hold on. I'll do what every asshole in this city does. You know, they were on that land before you were. Right. Hold on. You're saying the coyote was here before the condos? Those condos go back to 82.
How long do coyotes live?
No, different different coyotes. The forefathers.
Oh, saber-toothed tigers were here before that. So what the hell?
Yeah, I know. I hate those assholes. But their land.
Listen, I listened to 20 minutes on NPR on the way in here about how the freeways have to have animal crossings because the carnivores are coming.
Oh,
and we got to let them – because a mountain lion got hit on the 101.
Mountain lion
got hit on the 101.
Well, I can't
and
believe –
And I thought, he was heading for my yard. I know it because I've got everything – the whole damn wild kingdom in there.
There was a car moving fast enough on the 101 to hurt
it must have been
to
you.
Injure a mountain lion. All right. So anyway, Molly outside. Good news.
Oh, Lord have
mercy. Feels good. And you know who loves it more than me?
Molly.
Olga.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's Guatemalan.
I know your aim is to make her happy, of course.
Olga's like...
She's going to eat Molly.
I don't know why that dog has to be on the fucking furniture all day. She can be outside where dogs live. By the way, Molly paid me back by vomiting twice in two different spots in the bedroom this morning.
On your bed?
Actually, no.
Yes, my dog does it.
2 foot from the bed, and then the worst place you can vomit... Where the carpet hits the wall and starts to curl down, you know when it gets tucked in where the wall and starts to curl down?
You can't clean it.
She fucking put the vomit right in right by the door and right by the thing. So this morning I was cleaning up Molly vomit. No, what I'm saying, Dr. Drew, first off, here's what I'm saying. I'm not interested in punishing people or hurting people. I think Molly wants to be outside. That's
you've
my
made
feeling.
That point. I understand.
And I think
the problem is this is the one. There is a kingdom of animals heading into neighborhoods now. And you have to watch the dogs.
I will risk
now.
That. And I think housewives would be more satisfied.
What is this housewife thing you're talking about? I'm confused. What is that? How dare you? That's something. That's Father Time again. The old man's talking about. He had housewives, but they milked the cows.
Nuptial partners.
And when the machines pick up, start milking the cows. Why didn't the wife do it? I don't pay for those damn machines.
Nuptial partners would be not happier. But more satisfied.
Think about the evolution of housewife from peasant to today. You should glory in that. At least you don't have to go to the post office.
Oh, you're right.
because you have stamps.com.
Ah, yeah.
That's right. 24/7 available in your own home, at your computer, in your home office, or at your kitchen, wherever your computer is, stamps.com. Use your own printer to buy and print U.S. official postage for any letter, package, or class of mail. Schedule pickup, or your mailman just picks it up. And we have a special offer. Promo code is ADS. Please use ADS for a no-risk trial. $110 bonus offer. Offer.
You're fired up, Derek.
I am fired up. I'm thinking of that old man that used to complain all the time. He drove me insane. I'm wondering how the kids are reacting to you. Digital scale. So you can adjust the postage, the exact amount of what you owe based on the weight of the package, and it reads right onto your computer, and you print it onto your printer, and then you get the postage for free anyway. $55 free postage. Ridiculous offer. Go to stamps.com now. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in ADS. That is stamps.com, promo code ADS.
Now, to be fair.
By the way, somebody said, speaking of this ADS, somebody said that I tweeted that we should change the name of the show to Adam and Dr. Drew Shut Up. You tell me to shut up so much lately.
All right, quiet.
All right, shut
now
up.
Now listen. To be fair to Lynette, when we move to the new house, no maid.
You've made that deal?
Lynette sees how incredibly miserable I am by this.
Wait.
Because it's I have a problem. It's me. I am much more bothered by the strange person in my house than anybody could ever imagine.
Why did you ever come for 3 hours a day? Why did you have to stay there all day? Why not just come and clean and leave when you're not there, since you're gone so much?
These are all fine questions,
okay.
Drew.
I will bring that up
fine,
to Lynette when
fine
she
questions.
Is underwater or with her child care responsibilities.
Kids are at school all day. Plenty of time. We can all do what we want to do if we want to do it.
Huh?
The question is, do
are
we
you
want
suggesting?
To do it? The point is new house... No maid.
That's is that a deal or is that a declaration?
That was a declaration and a deal.
Okay.
We can figure out. I will chip in as well.
Oh, okay.
I will spend whatever time I have between whatever morning gig and night gig and Sunday and weekend gig I have doing some cleaning so that I don't have to have the
dial down the workload a little bit. Maybe get a used car for her and see how she likes that. Huh?
For who?
For Lynette.
She's clear on that one.
What?
She does not want that car. No. Dialing down the workload is not the answer. There's another answer.
Okay.
No mate.
Take
all
calls.
Right. Let's take some calls. Yep. All right. Started. All right. Inspiring model. Sounds good. Charlotte, 28.
Hi.
Hey, what's going on?
Not too much. How are you guys?
Good.
So?
Okay, so I started modeling like maybe a year ago, and I got engaged in April, and my fiance insists on coming to every single shoot, to every single promotion, to every single thing. Like, I'm going to a Maxim party. I was invited to a Maxim party Saturday. And he doesn't want me to go because he's not on the invitation list.
So Maxim, I would imagine, would be the equivalent, when we were these folks' age, of like a Playboy party. Wouldn't you say?
It's a big deal.
Yeah, but the point, it's a big deal, but it's sexually charged.
Hold on
it's, you know, a
second.
Lot of hot...
You're invited to work there or to just kind of be one of the beautiful people, or how's that work?
I'm going to be one of the beautiful people. And then once I meet them, I will be working for them.
Once you meet
the Maxim
people?
No, Adam.
Yeah.
That was a non-answer. Here's the answer. She's there to hang out.
Yes.
Okay. She's there to hang out.
All right. Well, then speak fucking English.
What she's
you?
Saying, you got to speak fluent
it's
person.
It's networking.
Yeah, she's going so she can meet the people so she can get a job.
All right. And what kind of modeling do you do?
I do anything from high fashion to swimsuit to lingerie, just whatever they hire me for, I do pretty much. I've done products.
Butt plugs, dildos, things like that.
Do what?
Okay. So how did you meet this guy?
I met him.
He was a photographer.
No, the reason I say that is because half the time, the way these guys meet is she had a boyfriend.
Right.
she was doing a shoot in Aruba.
Right.
He was holding that piece of tinfoil that blocks the sun out over her bikini shoot. They hooked up that night at the bar.
Yeah.
And now he's worried.
He's doing the math.
Well, yeah. Right. Right.
That's not how it happened. I met him before I was modeling.
Uh-huh. Were you
at a strip club.
Were you with somebody?
No, I was single. I just moved to Dallas.
Okay.
From where?
From Longview, East Texas.
And how did you guys meet?
We met, we're both from Longview, so we kind of knew the same people, and we met in a local club.
All right, so you're a beautiful young woman, and he's protective over that.
He's nervous. He's jealous.
What does he do?
He is opening up a pet store. Ooh. He's a business owner.
Now, where he sells animals or he pets animals? Because I'm confused.
He sells them. He trains them.
That would be a petting store.
Oh, petting store. Yes. Sorry. Yeah. Is he good looking? Does he have a decent income?
The question you're trying to get at is, do their numbers match?
Right.
And what is her assessment of that?
Yes, everything matches.
Okay, so everything.
So much.
He makes a good income. He's good looking.
He makes no income at this point. Let's be fair. Right now.
What's he make? What's his income right now?
About $40,000, which is about what I make.
Right, but you're hot and young. You don't have to make shit. Kevin Costner makes $20 million a year. He'd fuck you in a second. See what I'm saying?
Oh, yes. Thank you. Thank you, Adam.
Explain how it works.
The oracle has spoken. I can just see the oracle in Delphi. Hey, well, yes, young lady.
Make the same amount of money. That's you both make nothing, but you're hot and a chick. That's the problem.
So the numbers don't match then, you're saying?
Not really. Have you ever given him cause to think you were cheating on him or doing anything like that?
No.
All right.
No. The only thing that I've ever been dishonest about was some Adderall. I take Adderall, and that's, other than that, I've never done anything.
All right. So you're going to go to this party. You're going to be dressed to the nines. The music's going to be pumping. The guys are going to be buying you shots of Jägermeister, and he knows that's what you're going to be doing, and that's kind of part of the gig. And the idea is, look. And maybe it's a more global discussion you should have. When you're in a boy band and you have a girlfriend and you're being interviewed, you tell everyone you're single. Or if you're gay and you're in a boy band, you're like, I love me some ladies. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's part of the product.
Right, right.
It helps. Now, when you are in a boy band and you have a girl waiting for you at home, you do have to go out and do the dance,
yeah.
And you do have to go, I'm single and looking to mingle,
right.
But you don't.
Right.
That's what she basically
has
is
to
doing.
Do, yeah.
That's what she has
and
to do.
And it's freaking him out.
Right.
Let's be fair. He must be 28. How old's the guy? How old's the boyfriend?
He's 30.
30.
Yeah.
See, tough. He's 30
a
with
tough
like,
at that age.
Okay, yeah. He's 30 with like, 30 you should be full stride as a male, right?
You mean in terms of
career and status and position and all kinds of stuff? Sort of.
Not anyone who works here.
Well, stride.
I mean, some of them are 30. Some of them are staring down the barrel of 30. And full stride means dad dies and leaves him something. Yeah. But other than that, no.
You're right. It's probably later now. It's like 35, 40.
It's 35, 40. Yeah. These guys are they're eyeballing. Matt's got some flip flops on layaway. It's basically where he's heading career wise. You're going to pay it off by the summer of 2015. Lookout, beach.
Here I come.
It's fun being a dick.
You're good at it.
Thank you.
Oh, there's a ringtone.
All right. All right, listen, Charlotte, you're going to have to tell him.
I don't think the numbers are matching up. That's the problem.
And that's his problem. But look, you're gonna have to just tell him.
Here's one thing you can say. Is that it's not attractive. It's not a turn on. You being anxious and clingy. And it's sort of it's pushing me away. I understand it's because you care about me and you don't want to lose me and all this stuff.
Yes.
But the fact is, I'm not going anywhere. So just relax. This strategy ain't gonna work, it's gonna make things worse.
Here's the thing too. Going to one of these parties is where this isn't going to happen. If I was going to cheat on you, it wouldn't be on the dance floor.
Right.
You know, it'd be a much lower key thing going on. So cool your jets. It's not attractive. I'm going
to
So
when
to
I cheat, basically, it's going to be when you're at work.
When you're at work. Yeah. All right. There's a bulimic question. There's seeing a girl recently. Performance anxiety. Yeah, top of the line one. Hey, Jim.
Hey, man.
26, New York City. What's going on?
Get it on, man.
Get it on, man.
Gotcha.
That's actually part of the reason why I'm calling. I've been dating this girl for about a month, and I seem to be having a little bit of performance anxiety, which kind of manifests itself in two different ways. I either can't obtain an erection, or I'm done way too quick. And I know that those are two, you know, different ends of the spectrum, but it kind of seems like one of those things occurs frequently. And
here, the irony of that is that usually occurs, and the woman will take that as he's not into me.
She says that.
Yeah.
She's like,
and the irony is,
like, what, you
hang on.
And
the irony is, hang on, Jim.
These fucking people. I know. They ratchet it up when they hear your voice.
I know. What's my fault? My fault. The irony is, it's exactly the opposite. He's too into her that creates this stuff. You know, the woman's like, you're not into me enough. He's like, no, it's because I'm anxious because you're so hot and I'm so want to please you. And blah, blah, blah.
Well, it's kind of weird because.
That's, again, it's the difference between how men and women work. Women don't know that's how men work.
Yeah, but it's interesting. There are two extremes. Mm. It's like when something, when an object, a piece of metal, a crescent wrench, when it gets extremely hot or extremely cold, and you grab it, momentarily it feels the same, which is just pain. Just the same, let go. And if someone said, was that hot or cold? You'd go, I don't know, but it hurt.
Yeah.
You either do the, when you're too into somebody, it's either like, peckaroo, ain't working, or, sorry, let me get my underpants. Oh, no, I couldn't. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I haven't got my socks off yet.
Peckaroo.
So it's weird that we have the two extremes
but here's the
in
deal.
Behavior.
You mean in terms of the too fast and the not enough.
So it's confusing to women because when the women see too fast, they go, okay, he's too into me.
Yeah.
But they don't realize that it's weird that the polar opposite of premature is the same feeling, too into.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's the polar opposite, which is
no go.
No blood in the junk.
Yeah.
Right.
No blood in the peckaroo.
No blood in the peckaroo.
another
good John Cougar song.
Another ringtone also.
Yeah.
So, and I was just thinking, if it were a situation where you were not into her, you wouldn't describe it as performance anxiety. You'd describe it as not into her.
Right.
But let me hear, Jim. So, do you have any medical problems? Do you have any medication, Jim?
No, and I knew you were going to ask that, Drew. No, I'm not.
Nothing. Have you ever had this problem before?
By the way, everyone.
What?
You can just say no. You don't have to say, I knew you were going to ask that.
I know you're irritated by that. I was sort of privileged. He knows us well enough. He listens to us. There we go. It's all right.
All right.
Little tip of the hat,
all right,
Adam. Come on now.
Miss fucking Cleo. Go ahead.
Yeah, that was meant as a tip of the hat.
I understand that. I understand. I
knew you were
going to
say that.
I got your back.
Okay. I like that. How's it feel?
Jim, so have you ever had this problem before?
No, I haven't. That's part of the reason why it's so frustrating.
And how long has it been going on for?
A couple weeks now.
And is it right that you're just too into this girl? This is too exciting?
Yeah, and I think it might, part of it also is I'm coming off a little bit of a dry spell too, and so getting caught back into the rhythm.
But she's very attractive. You're into her.
It's going to settle down. Give it some time. You know, just slow it down, relax. Her response, of course, is an important thing too, so you got to kind of get her really geared up to understand that it's just you are just so in. And she'll if you can convince her of that, which is the truth, I think things will kind of work themselves out. If they don't work out, sometimes physicians will give you a medication, Viagra or an equivalent, to kind of get your confidence back and then on your way.
You know, my first thought was take a Viagra, get your confidence back. And then I thought your mind's going
to
go, there's a kickstart or I have to have it. Is there a
– Yes, there could
be that.
How
about half a Viagra?
How about you taper it down? You'd wean off it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Just putting a – hair in your mouth.
By the way, today I should tell you folks, Manhattan Beach, BevMo, 5 p.m., doing a little signing.
It's on Saturday, actually.
Oh, shit. What day is it?
Thursday.
Holy good God. My fucking calendar's spinning around.
You're so
baby.
Messed up. I want to hear about the TV show you're doing, by the way.
Yes, sorry. Messing Saturday, Manhattan Beach, 5 p.m. Also, you can click through the Amazon link and show a little love over here. AdamandDrDrewShow.com if you're going to get something from Amazon. And subscribe via the PayPal button. I recommend $5 a month for lots of luck. Good luck. All right. It's good luck. It's just good luck. You want good luck? Okay.
I don't think I listened to you carefully enough.
You want bad luck?
Sometimes when I listen, what the fuck are you saying?
Well, if you want bad luck, then don't subscribe for or subscribe for $4.99 a month. Speaking of $4.99, me and Dr. Drew, our reunion tour, three shows,
wait
Bakersfield, Santa Barbara, Denver, all
I think
on
this,
sale.
That surgery fucked me up because I feel like I just woke up. $4.99 is not enough for all that good.
You're right.
It's ridiculous.
Too much good for that price. Yeah. Available in the store at AdamCarolla.com or at iTunes as well. All right. Let's grab a couple more calls here, Drew. What do you like? Three or four?
Four.
Four. Cameron, 19, Fresno.
Good morning, gentlemen. First of all, Carolla, you have been a role model for many years and continue to be.
Thank
you. Dr. Drew, I would like to thank you. You are an inspiration to me getting off prescription opioids.
Ooh, good. Well done, Cameron.
What prescription opioid were you on?
Vicodin.
You know, I started out with Vicodin, went up to Norco, stayed there for a month or two, and then went on to OxyContin.
Oh, boy.
All prescribed by, ironically enough, my pediatrician.
Ugh.
In time,
I almost can't listen to these stories anymore.
Well, how do you have
insane.
Norco from a pediatrician?
Because he had, no, probably a football injury or whatever, you know.
What was your injury?
Yeah, a little history. I was 16 years old. I was interning for a large animal veterinarian. I had a great interest in the medical field. I was in a car accident that then caused, Dr. Drew, what they have diagnosed to be T9, T10, dorsal primary ramus neuralgia.
Let me translate that. Drug addiction. Because you cannot make an assessment of pain when somebody's on opiates. So they're busily trying to explain why this kid has persistent pain. That is almost a made-up diagnosis. It's a way of describing something they can't understand. Here's what they said. Well, we know he's got pain between this one dermatome here, so it's neuralgia, meaning it's inflammation of the nerve.
Drew,
so the nerve's inflamed. That's why he hurts. Why is the nerve inflamed? What's the structural problem? They have no idea.
Can I ask you this?
Yeah.
Why do backs, and tell me if they do or don't. I've never thought of this question, but I think it's going to be a good one. You know, everyone's elbow is exactly the same. I've never seen, you know, somebody I work with just rubbing their elbow. What happened? Oh, I, you know, got out of bed weird, or I lifted something and my elbow's all. Everyone's elbow is just everyone's elbow. No one has a problem with it. What's a fucking wild guy plays tennis, gets tennis elbow, but it's just elbow.
Yeah.
Knees, you know, they're all designed the same. You want to play football, you may tear your ACL, you may ski and
to be fair,
ACL.
The knees get fucked up. But
you
they kind of get fucked up
but
in the same way.
Consistently. Yeah,
same
what
way.
Happened? Tore my ACL. Yeah. I was skiing, snowboard.
Yeah. Or I got osteoarthritis when I was older.
Whatever.
Blah, blah, blah.
Whatever. The back, the incredible fluctuation and variation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, we are, you know, I know it's more involved than an elbow or a knee, but I personally have done everything I could do to hurt my back in my life, and my back's fine.
Yeah,
I've never had a back problem. I've had it, you know, and I've thrown it out, you know, and I used to work construction, play football, hit a lot of things with my head, box, so on and so forth. But I'm fine. How do so many people have so many back-related issues, and how much of it is psychosomatic? I mean, how much is this hooked up to that brain stem?
A lot of it is.
Because physiologically,
with
the same number of vertebrae,
well, but
do
there,
we not?
There is, to be fair, there is a wide variability in the sort of genetic predilection for these things. You know, remember when you used to teach me boxing, and we were filming Loveline? We had a heavy bag in our dressing room and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember this, but doing that fucked up my neck so badly. It took me like 2 years.
I know, you're complaining
to
like a fucking
be okay.
Girl for
and I was fine. Then all of a sudden, one day, and that's my genetics. My dad has spinal stenosis, but here's the deal. And think about it. I was in pain all the time, a lot of pain. It would wake me up in the middle of the night from sleep. I kept lifting weights. I didn't think about it. It didn't bother me.
Right.
So the affective.
You want to clean my house, by the way? Because I'm looking for a stout white dude to come do it.
I bad back.
Oh, okay.
I might have to get workers
Sorry.
Comp on it.
Mm-hmm. All right. So.
But the point being is that the affective component, the meaning of the pain to me was zero. I didn't think about it. I could distract myself from it.
It was not going to...
I have a shoulder problem right now. 2 years. I've been avoiding doing anything about it.
But it's not going to stop you from your appointed rounds.
If I had then gone, well, I can't be waking up in the middle of the night. I need to take something for this in order to keep working out. And I started taking something. Now it's game on with the pain. Mm. The pain perception now becomes this sort of something called hyperalgesia, particularly people with the genetics of addiction. Mm-hmm. They get this – all that effective momentum of the pain becomes overwhelming.
Well,
and so they can't even – when you ask somebody, like if I had talked to Cameron 4 years ago when he was taking all those meds, mm-hmm. and I asked him, you know, to describe the pain, he would not – it would be a vague description. He would have difficulty telling me what the issue even was.
Well, for me, at least bottom line is I'm not interested in how many times a year you get sick, and I'm not interested in how many days of the year your back hurts or your neck hurts or your shoulder hurts. I'm only interested in how many days of work you miss.
Mm-hmm.
And if the answer is zero, then you went to work 6 days with a fucking neck that felt shitty, or you went to work 6 days with a cold or whatever it is. But to me,
you mentioned that when you were severely depressed, you had back pain. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting?
It is. More to the point, I had neck pain.
Yeah.
And I always described it as it literally felt like there was poison in my neck. I felt like I couldn't – and I couldn't. I couldn't turn my neck without turning my entire body.
Yeah.
I dreaded my day. So much. I dreaded getting up in the morning so much. I dreaded my life so much that when the alarm would go off at 6 a.m. and I'd have to think about my horrible foreman on my horrible job site working with all those fucking horrible people in the hot sun, I'd get out of bed and I'd just go, I'd get off the ground, off the
now,
futon,
imagine,
and grab my neck.
Imagine I give you some OxyContin. Hang on, I got something to say before you go back. And now the pain gets worse, but you're happy. Am I going to talk you out of that?
No.
And all the pain is better first. But here's what I would say. Along your spinal cord, you've had one of your ganglia block, so your head doesn't sweat.
Mm-hmm.
Your sympathetic ganglia. Mm-hmm. They are all the way along your spinal cord.
Mm-hmm.
I'm deeply interested in the autonomic nervous system and its mm-hmm. role in emotion and sort of our feeling-based experience. Isn't it interesting that sympathetic system just hugs the back?
Mm-hmm.
And that's really that's attached to our visceral experience, our bodily based experience of ourself, of our feelings, and of the world. So mm-hmm. there might be something, you know what I mean? There might be something about what the processing does and those deeper visceral reptilian parts of the brain do with abnormalities or problems or stirring up those regions of the body.
I just know that the brain has such a great effect on the back.
Yeah.
And we look at it.
And I'm saying it's the body, maybe, and the brain, the two together.
What I'm
saying
is we shouldn't call it a backache. We should call it a brain ache, man. Because when your head ain't right, your back ain't right, man. All right. So real quick.
Yeah.
Cameron?
If I may interject.
Yeah.
I got off opioids for a good 3 months before they came up with this diagnosis. I had two sets of
blocks, blah, blah, blah.
Primer,
listen,
yeah,
right, I got to tell
but
you.
But anyway, what's the
times.
Question?
And then I had a spinal cord stimulator implanted by
oh,
the
oh, my God. Oh, no. Anyway.
And I'm very happy with it.
Okay, good.
All right. So the question is?
Yes, sir. The effectiveness of medical marijuana versus the effectiveness of a Lyrica or a gabapentin, because those have been life-saving. And Adam Carolla, this is to you and both Dr. Drew. Have you ever had past experience using marijuana to combat pain? If so, what were your experiences?
No, I never had any using it to combat pain. Mine was to just sort of remove myself from the horrible life that I was leading, essentially, at the time. Is he talking about pain medications?
Using it as a pain medication, marijuana.
Yeah. Is that on the list of things
sure,
they
I'm
use
sure
it for?
Sure, I'm sure it is. Because for some people, they have opioid effects from pot. It's mm-hmm. And that's the point. It has and it is an opiate withdrawal, and people stop it for some
right.
people. But
I'll
it's off
what.
The table for him because he's a drug addict.
Okay.
And so he can't – and by the way, this explains why he continued to have pain after he got off the opiates. He flipped over to the pot.
Oh, hi. You guys should flip over to go to meeting, baby. Not all meetings can be planned in advance. Things come up last minute. People don't have time to jump on planes. There's emergencies and things. So we got to go. We got to get the team together. Do it with GoToMeeting. You can share screens. to work together. So you'd work on the same document. You get on your computer, doesn't matter where you are. Spreadsheets and projects in real time. Use the webcams. Make your meeting an HD video conference. That's what we need you to do at GoToMeeting. And you can start or attend a meeting at GoToMeeting. And you can do it from your Mac or your PC, smartphone, tablet, what have you. Start hosting a meeting in seconds from your computer, your mobile device. Sign up for a 30-day free trial. No credit card required. We use these guys all the time. Ironically, they're one of our best sponsors, but when we hook up with other sponsors, we use GoToMeeting. I never point that out to them. But oftentimes we use GoToMeeting to have them demonstrate their website, their product to us via GoToMeeting. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Use the promo code Adam. That's GoToMeeting.com. Promo code Adam. Meeting is believing. All right. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Thank you guys so much for subscribing. Thank you so much for being fans and telling a friend. I'll see you guys Saturday. BevMo in Manhattan Beach. Until next time, it's Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew. Matt the Porcelain Punish Fondelier. Gary Haftar saying mahalo.
This is Corolla Digital.